Good morning. I can welcome everyone to our service this morning. It is a cool morning, but spring is here and summer is coming. And it is a beautiful world that God has made, that He has given us to live in, to work in, and on a morning like this, the opportunity to be in God's house where we can worship Him. Now I would like to greet everyone with the words we find in Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul writes, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." So let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you have blessed us with. We thank you for the beautiful world that you have made, that you have given us to live in, to work in, and on a morning like this, the opportunity and the privilege to worship you, where we can sing, we can pray, and we can learn from the scripture that you have given us. And we pray that you will open our understanding so that we can not only hear the scriptures, but also understand them and apply them to ourselves. So we ask that your presence will be with us this morning. You will lead us in our prayers and our thoughts, and prepare our hearts for what is going to be said this morning and what you will say to us. We pray also for those who cannot be here, the sick, the elderly. We pray especially for those who need some spiritual guidance, who may be weak in their faith, and may you strengthen them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 203, Blue Hymnal. And I invite you to stand. Blessed Assurance.
Yeah.
407, near the cross.
Chapter 11, verse 1, we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Here it talks about hope for things that we have not seen. So this morning I'm going to talk a little bit about faith. And the first thing we can ask is, what is the definition of faith? And if we look in the dictionary, it has multiple, many more than one meaning. First of all, it tells us faith is the confidence we have in something that is said that is trustworthy. Something that is said that we trust. Now I'm going to talk about that, or use an example of that in my message this morning, but first, what else does the dictionary say about the definition of faith? Faith is also a belief that we have in something without needing proof. And that is what it talks about here in Hebrews 11, verse 1. And one example of that is that in a belief that we have in God, or in the testimony about God, as recorded in Scripture. We believe in God, we believe in eternity, because we read about it, not because we have seen it, because we have not. We have faith that what we read is true. And that is what it is talking about in Hebrews 11. The things we hope for and have assurance for, but have not seen. This belief also gives us the ability to understand that faith is possible only because God Himself is faithful. He fulfills His promises. What He tells us in Scripture, we have faith that it is totally true. We do not necessarily understand it. Scripture also teaches us His ways are beyond our understanding, but we believe that His promises are true because God is faithful. So this morning I want to talk about faith. And I have to admit, I do this with some hesitation because it is a huge topic. If you look up the word faith in Scripture, in the concordance, it is endless. The examples and the references we have to faith. It is such a huge topic. It is impossible to cover all aspects of faith and how it affects us in one morning. So I will talk about a very small part of what we call faith. Because in Scripture we find many references to faith, all different aspects of what it means to have faith and how it affects us. Scripture talks about the assurance we have or receive through our faith, how we are justified by faith, the blessings and the promises we receive because of our faith, how it gives us the assurance of salvation and the hope of eternity. The list goes on. It is endless of how our faith affects us and what we do. So this morning I will talk about a small part of it, and I want to go to an example of that we find in Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus teaches the disciples about faith. Now, the first definition of faith, I already mentioned, was that it is the confidence that we have in something that is said that is trustworthy. We find an example of that in Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus walks on water. If we turn to Matthew chapter 14, the chapter starts on a very sad note. The first 12 verses, we read about the death of John the Baptist. Now, I don't want to dwell too much on this, but very briefly, we read in this chapter about how King Herod put John the Baptist in prison because John told him it was not lawful for him to have his brother's wife. But we also read in these verses that King Herod had a birthday. And at this birthday, the daughter of his wife that he was not lawfully supposed to have danced for him. And he was so pleased with her dancing, he told her, "You ask for anything you want, and I will give it to you." In verse 7, it says, whereup he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. Well, she didn't know what she should ask for. So she went to her mother, and her mother said, give me the head of John the Baptist on a charger or on a platter. Well, in verse 9, it tells us King Herod regretted his promise, but a promise is a promise. So he sent an executioner to the prison, and they brought the head of John the Baptist to this daughter on a platter. Now, I don't know if any of you could imagine that, being brought a plate with a head of a man sitting on it. Well, this head was brought to her on a charger or on a platter, and it was given to this girl, and she brought it to her mother. And then in verse 12, it says, his disciples came and took up the body, buried it, and went and told Jesus. Then in the first part of verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When Jesus heard what had happened to John the Baptist, he went into a desert place to be alone. And that is understandable. We read in Scripture that John the Baptist was a messenger to send to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. He introduced Jesus to the people that he was baptizing in the Jordan River. He told them, I baptize you with water, but there is someone coming whose shoes I am not worthy to untie, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John the Baptist baptized Jesus before he started his ministry. And we also read that the mother of Jesus and the mother of John the Baptist were cousins. We read about that in Luke chapter 1, verse 36. So John the Baptist and Jesus were related to each other, and Jesus knew John came to be a messenger to prepare him for his ministry. And now upon his death, which was very tragic, he went to be into a desert place to be alone. But that was not to be. In verse 13, or the rest of verse 13, it says, and when the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Now Jesus had gone by ship to a desert place. And when the multitudes found out where he had gone, they came to him to be healed and to hear his teaching. And because Jesus had compassion, he healed them. Now we also read in Matthew chapter 3 and chapter 4, after Jesus was baptized, he went about the whole country, he preached the gospel of the kingdom, but he also healed people of all kinds of diseases. And it tells us in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 4 that he became famous and multitudes of people followed him wherever he went. Then if we continue in Matthew chapter 14, in verse 15 to 21, Jesus feeds the multitudes that followed him. Now, I'm not going to talk about this in detail, but I would like to read these verses where he feeds them. In verse 15, it says, "When it was evening, his disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals.' And Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.' And they said unto him, 'We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Looking up at heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." So here Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he taught them, he healed them, and he fed them. And then in the next verse, it tells us he sent them home because it was evening. In verse 22, it says, "Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." Again, he wants to be alone. He has had a full day. He needs to spend time in prayer with God, his Father. He needs time to grieve the death of John the Baptist. He still has not had time to grieve for that death. Then in verse 23, it says, "When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone." Now in verse 13, it tells us Jesus and the disciples came by ship to a desert place. Now he tells his disciples to go back into the ship to the other side. Now it does not tell us what body of water this is, but I am assuming that it is the Sea of Galilee. That is but the only body of water that was big enough for what is going to happen here. But he sent the multitudes back to the cities where they came from. He told his disciples to go to the other side. Then he went up into a mountain to be alone with God and to pray. Now what is interesting is that Jesus has sent the multitudes back to the cities where they came from and the safety of their homes. But what about the disciples? He has told them to get back into the ship to go to the other side. Verse 24. But in verse 24 it says, "The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." Yes, the multitudes had been sent home to the safety of their homes. Jesus was going to be alone to spend time with God in prayer. But where were the disciples? He had told them to get back into the ship to go to the other side. And they were in a ship in the middle of the sea, being tossed to and fro because the wind was contrary. The people that he sent away, they were in a safe place. Jesus was in a safe place with God. But the disciples were anything but in a safe place. They were in great difficulty being tossed by the waves. And what is interesting is that they are in a situation because that is where Jesus told them to go. Jesus told them to go into the ship, to go to the other side. Jesus knew there was a storm coming, but he still told them to go. And he sent them directly into a storm. But Jesus did not abandon them. But why would he send them to the other side when he knew there was a storm coming? Why would he send them to a place that was so difficult? In verse 25, it says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Now, the fourth watch of the night is the early morning, probably around between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. So the disciples spent all night trying to survive this storm. And early in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. He was walking on the very waves that made it so difficult for the disciples. The disciples he had sent into this storm. And we can ask, why would he send them out into a storm and leave them there all night? Why did he allow them to struggle all night before he appeared to them as a ghost or a vision walking on the sea? Because when he appeared to them, they thought he was a spirit. In verse 26, it says, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out in fear. When they saw this vision of a man walking on the sea, they did not know who it was. So they were afraid. They thought they were seeing a spirit. But verse 27, it says, straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Now in Mark chapter 6, we have the same incident, and I would like to read a few verses from that chapter. Mark 26, verse 46. Mark 6, verse 46. It says, when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by. And I find that rather interesting. It says, he would have passed by if they had not called out to him. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. They were in fear. So they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they wondered. That is all it says in Mark chapter 6 about this incident. But in Matthew, if we go back to Matthew 14, there is more to this story. In verse 28 of Matthew 14, when Jesus says, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid, the apostle Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they were afraid because they thought he was a spirit, that he was not real. But Jesus assures them in verse 27, it is I, be not afraid. But then the apostle Peter wants proof that it is really him. Is it really you telling me to be not afraid? Jesus, Peter said, if it is you, ask me to come to you on the water. And Jesus spoke one word, come. And Peter got out of the boat or out of the ship, and he walked on water. The very water that they had been struggling with all night, the very water that they thought was going to capsize their ship or their boat, until Jesus came walking to them on that water. But the definition of faith is that we have confidence that we have, the confidence we have in something that is said that is trustworthy. There is no question that Jesus trusted, or there's no question Peter trusted Jesus when he said, come. Because he believed in Jesus, he knew who Jesus was. In chapter 16, verse 16, Peter is asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter knew who Jesus was, and he trusted what he said when he said, come to me on the water. So he got out of the boat and he walked on water. Peter believed that what he was told was trustworthy. But then he took his eyes off Jesus. He looked around at the waves, the troubles that it had caused them, and he started to doubt. Is this really possible that I can walk on water? I have never walked on water before, and now all of a sudden I can. So he started to doubt because he took his eyes off Jesus. And he started to think, how is such a thing possible that now I can walk on this water? He started to doubt what he had been told because of the storm around them. And I must say, that is not hard to do. When we are in a difficult situation, if we look at what is going on in the world around us, do we sometimes wonder, where is God in all this? Where is the hope that we have in our faith? The hope that we find in Scripture. But what does Peter do when he starts to sink? He cries out, Lord, save me. And what does Jesus do? He stretched out his hand, he caught him, and said in verse 31, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? Why did you take your eyes off me and look at the waves? Jesus confirms that he will never abandon them. But the Apostle Peter's, his faith was so small, but when he cried out, Jesus caught him and did not abandon him. Now there's another aspect to this that I would like to mention. I used to work with a man who also was a pastor. One day we were discussing this part of scripture, and he asked me an interesting question. He asked me, why did Peter sink? Or why did Peter start to sink? Well, I answered him, because he started to doubt. Yes, that is true. But what if he had stayed in the boat? What if he had not followed Jesus' instruction when he said, come? He would not have been in a position to sink. But he also would not have been in a position where Jesus could take him by the hand and teach him that he had to depend totally on him for survival. And that is something that all the disciples needed to be taught. Yes, Jesus was their Lord and Savior, but they also had to keep their eyes on him for survival. And that also applies to us. We can look at the world around us. We can see all the troubles and the difficulties. But we should depend totally on Jesus for our survival and for our eternity. And I would like to close with Matthew 14, verse 32 and 33. Says, when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. In closing, let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our faith. We thank you for the gift of salvation that we receive through our faith. And we ask that you will strengthen our faith and give us the confidence that you are always there. You will protect us, guide us, and teach us your ways. May you also teach us never to take our eyes off you, and that we can totally trust you in everything that you say to us. And we pray, Lord, take us by the hand and lead us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I also would like to give everyone the opportunity to pray whatever is on their hearts, and we will do that through a silent word of prayer. So those that are able, let us kneel in silent prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. And we will now have some announcements.
Good morning. It's the same announcement as last week, but it's just a reminder for the Sunday School and Youth Leaders Workshop. It is the call of our teachers and youth leaders to bring our children unto the Lord. In order to prepare and motivate our teachers and youth leaders to attend this year's workshops, we ask you, the congregation, to pray for the teachers and youth leaders. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, I will much. Lord willing, and we live, the workshops will be held in Altoona, Somerville Church, on Saturday, April 23rd, 2022. Registration will be at 9:30, opening at 10 a.m. We encourage all Sunday school teachers, assistants, spares, and children club and youth leaders to attend. We also encourage them to bring their spouses. This year's team will be preparing to teach following Jesus' example. We also ask you to pray for the speaker, Reverend Jake Fraze. As Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Thank you, the Sunday School Worships Committee. May God bless you.
Thank you. Oh, we have reached the conclusion of the first part of our service this morning, and I would like to thank you for being here and joining in our worship. And I will now close with a benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. And may you go in peace with the Lord.